It's found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's holy and infallible word, receive it as such. Let us come before him in prayer. Our God and our Father, at this time we humbly come before you, asking that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, condescend to the fragility of our hearts and our minds, that you would illumine the scriptures to us. Help us, guide us, strengthen us in your word. May this time be one that honors and glorifies your name, your Son, and your Spirit. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Just 5 days ago, plus 506 years, so yes, 506 years and 5 days ago, an obscure Augustinian monk nailed 95 theses to the church doors in Wittenberg. And as the nail struck, in essence, that nail could be heard around the world. Some zealous students of Martin Luther's copied down his 95 theses that he nailed to the church doors, and they translated them from the Latin to the common vernacular. And within 2 weeks, thanks to the printing press, almost everywhere in Germany could be found these 95 theses of Martin Luther, and so the Reformation began. Now, men like Wycliffe and Huss had been working behind the scenes 100-plus years earlier. But the Reformation really began that day with the hand of Martin Luther. And in hindsight and reflection, we can look back and see that the power of God was at work within him and within other reformers. I've titled today's message Sola Fide, which is the Latin for faith alone. And I am reminded that Martin Luther himself said that the doctrine of justification by faith alone is the article upon which the church itself stands or falls. It is that important. Calvin said of this article of justification by faith alone, it is the article upon which everything in the church hinges. The magisterial reformers recognize the importance of this. And it was at the heart of the Reformation, but in thinking of the Reformation, I am also reminded of a story from R.C. Sproul when he preached on a sermon called Back to the Basics at a pastor's conference. His opening illustration, I will borrow, he spoke of Vince Lombardi walking into a meeting that he held after 2 or 3 weeks of poor performance by his Green Bay Packers football team. Horrible performance, embarrassing, he thought. He called a meeting and the team knew that they were probably going to get their ears cleaned. He starts the meeting by holding up a football and says, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Am I going too fast? His point was well received. It was time to get back to the basics, time to get back to the fundamentals. Every athlete knows if you are in baseball and you are struggling with your swing or struggling with the pitch, it is time to get back to the fundamentals. If you are a hunter and you are archery, doesn't matter. Archery, firearm, there are fundamentals to follow. If you miss your mark, get back to the fundamentals. Bowling. I loved bowling. Not that good at it. But so it is with our Christian faith. We need to get back to the basics at times. We find ourselves struggling. Or we find the church wandering off the true path. All across this nation, we see churches filled today. Thankfully, not this one, but so many of them that have taken the gospel and perverted it or completely thrown it out the window. That God would give us a reformation today in this country. It is time for us to get back to the fundamentals. And true believers never grow tired of the gospel. True believers never grow tired of those fundamentals. Back to the analogy of athletes, professional baseball players, this is one of the hardest things to get through to a little leaguer. Professional baseball players are still hitting off of a tee in practice, because it is the best way for them to work on their swing. They are still going back to the basics every day. The Reformation could have been summarized with 5 solas, or is often summarized by the 5 solas of the Reformation. Brushing up on our Latin, sola scriptura. Truth is revealed to us, and the authority is scripture alone, sola scriptura. And it shows us very clearly, it teaches us that we are saved by grace alone, sola gratia, through faith alone, sola fide. In Christ alone, solus Christus, to the glory of God alone, soli Deo gloria, sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, and soli Deo gloria. Scripture alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. This was at the heart of the Reformation. And again, Luther knew that justification by faith alone was the heart of the gospel. Back to our text for today. Verse 8. Actually, you know what? At this time, let me read, just for context, let's read verses 1 through 10. Yeah, it'll be very fitting for us to get this in its full context. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, oh, how beautiful that is. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ, with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verses 8 through 10, we can see three of the solas just in those three verses. And the first is sola gratia. Verse 8, again, for by grace you have been saved. For by grace. The Greek word charis used 155 times in 144 verses in the New Testament. Six times it is translated favor. 130 times it is translated grace. I think of Luke, actually, just comes to mind. Bear with me, please. I don't know if I'll find it quickly enough. Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. There is a... It is used three times real quickly in the book of Luke. I think it's very fitting for us. So well organized. I'm sorry. This just came to my mind right now. Jesus, there are sections in Luke where it says that Jesus found favor. He grew in favor. Mary saying about finding favor with the Lord. Those are three times that just come to mind. That word charis is so rich and so deep. It means it's a gift. It's unmerited. It cannot be earned. This isn't favor that, like, we have a favorite employee because they're so diligent and so hardworking. They're so reliable. No, this is a different kind of favor. This is unmerited favor. This is unearned. It cannot be earned. It is a gift. With other forms of this Greek word, charis, charisma, we get the English word charisma. But Paul uses these words over 100 times in his epistles. It is seemingly a central theme of his letters. the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. And again, it is essential for us to recognize this cannot be earned. I think of another illustration. I've seen many pastors and preachers use this in the past. Sproul is another one of them. If you were to line up the Apostle Paul or the Apostle John or even John the Baptist, on a linear plane, in reference to their holiness and to their righteousness while here on earth, you have Christ on one end of the spectrum, perfect righteousness, living a life of perfect obedience. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the rest of us. We ourselves have more in common with the likes of Adolf Hitler and Genghis Khan than we do with the righteousness of Christ. And that is something that is so hard for us to wrap around, that is so hard for us to get our heads around. But on that linear plane, that is how far away we are from the righteousness required by God. So the fact that we could ever be justified is pure grace. It cannot be earned. Another way to look at it is if we were to all line up on a level plane outside and reach for the moon tonight. Just stand, even if you stand up on your tippy toes, the most righteous human being is the tallest one reaching the highest. The moon is the righteousness of Christ. That's how far away we are from it. God's favor cannot be earned. It is a gift. It is pure grace. Paul belabors this point. It is only by his grace that we have our sins paid for by Christ. It is only by his grace that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It is only by his grace that we are given a new nature and a new heart that seeks him and seeks his good pleasure. We cannot earn that. And second, we see sola fide, for by grace through faith. Faith, the Greek word pistis, trust in and rely on. I ask the question, not how big is your faith, not how strong is your faith, but I ask the question, what is the object of your faith? What is it that you trust in and rely on? Not how much do you trust in it and rely on, but what do you trust in and rely on? Think of the picture, the video, the really old real camera video of the man standing on top of his barn with this invention of wings that he made that he could flap and fly, so he thought. And he jumps off the barn and didn't make it very far. Made it all the way to the ground pretty quick. He had a lot of faith in those wings. And think of that little elderly lady who has never flown in her life, and now she is terrified as she is about to get on a cross-country flight to see her grandchildren. She is terrified. The entire time she's preparing for the flight, she is terrified. The entire time she is on the flight, she is still terrified when they finally land safely. That man on the barn had a huge faith in those tiny wings. It was faith foolishly placed. That woman had such a tiny faith, the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. But in a far bigger object. What is the object of our faith? Scripture is clear. If our faith is in our own good works, I don't care how strong your faith is, it's not enough. Because our works, our good works are never enough. Big faith in a weak object is far worse than small faith in a big object. Small faith in a perfect object is far greater. Romans chapter 3. But now, verse 21, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, this is the Old Testament, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There are multiple parallel points in this passage. But for the sake of time, 2 points for now. We are justified by His grace. And we are justified through faith in Christ. I also want to note in verse 20, by works of the law, no one will be justified. Verse 20, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in His sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. It sounds familiar to Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1. You were dead. You were dead in the trespasses and sins. And there are foolish preachers around. I cannot stress this enough. Be thankful that you do not have a foolish preacher. You do not have a foolish pastor. Be ever so thankful on this. But there are those out there in this country where they proclaim that this analogy of you're sick, you're on your deathbed, you don't have the strength to even take the medicine that you need. A nurse has to give you the medicine. And all you have to do is just open your mouth and swallow the medicine. Jesus does 99% of it. You got to do that last 1%. That's foolish. If we have to rely on ourselves to do that last 1%, we will fail every time. The other analogy drowning at sea, going under the third and final time, and every attempt at a flotation device has been thrown out to you, it's failed. But Jesus throws it to you as you're going down and your arm is outstretched and it's a bullseye. It gets right around your hand. All you've got to do is grasp hold of it wrong. You want to use that analogy to describe our salvation. You and I are dead on the bottom of the sea for a week. God brings us up, revives us, gives us new life like that. We cannot rely on our own works. We must not rely on our own works. It is by grace through faith. Third, verses 8 through 10 here. We have sola gratia, sola fide, and soli Deo gloria. The glory of God alone. Ephesians 2, verse 9, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. No, the boasting belongs to God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our good works done in faith, God prepared before we were even saved. God prepared these good works. God prepared us for these good works. Not that we would earn his favor, but because he showed us his grace, we can glorify him through these good works. That created in Christ Jesus for good works. The purpose of our being justified, the purpose of our being saved, is for good works. It is for the glory of God. God and only God can boast in our salvation. And what a glorious thought. He who began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. So, application. Like the reformers, let us get back to the basics. Let us get back to the fundamentals of Christian faith. 3 points. 3 quick points. 1, what God did. He did it all. Grace, not merit. Faith, not works. It is a gift from God. And it is a gift of God. Not only is it a gift from God, God gave his only Son. God gave us faith. God grants us repentance. God created us for good works. But it is a gift of God. Christ laid down his life for the sheep. Christ paid the penalty with his own blood by bearing the wrath of God that we so deserved. He gave himself as a ransom. It is not just from God, it is of God. So one, what God did. Two, what we did. Nothing. We were dead. A heart of stone. Stone doesn't react to stimuli. A dead man doesn't react to stimuli. You can holler at him all day long, he's not going to listen. Some of you might think you could holler at your husband and he's not going to listen. My wife could attest to that some days, but no, my wife doesn't holler, thankfully. But we did nothing. There's nothing we could do. We did everything against what God would want. We did everything to kick against the goads. We did everything to fight against God. Think of Ezekiel in chapter 37. Preach to these dry bones. Dead bones. They're dry bones. God brings them to life. Breathes life into them. Jesus standing outside the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, rise up, come out. He rises up, he comes out. 3 days dead, 4 days dead, God can raise him from the dead. Our hearts were dead, our hearts were stone, and God gave us a heart of flesh. He resurrected us. Not in the final resurrection yet. But he resurrected our dead hearts so that we may respond to him. So what God did, he did it all. What we did nothing. And what it's all for, the glory of God. To do good works, to glorify God. True faith has evidence. True faith will always bear evidence. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there are no laws. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Conclusion, we need a reformation in this country. We need a reformation. Too many people don't know who God is. Like our song earlier, holy, holy, holy. The angels of heaven that have never sinned against God in his presence all the time. Continuously singing holy, holy, holy because they recognize the holiness of God. They recognize who God is. We need to know who God is. A low view of God plus a high view of man equals a false gospel. So let us get back to the basics. Scripture alone. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Let us never forget the Reformers knew God. They were moved with the power of God because of it. Do you know God that way? Do you know God that intimately? Closing illustration. Seems most of my illustrations today have been borrowed. Same with this one. Borrowing this illustration from John MacArthur. Spoke of a drawing room meeting or drawing room party. A famous actor years ago held this party, and at this party he recited famous literary works. He's a beautiful public speaker, didn't stammer and stutter and like I do. Just eloquent. They've got him reciting Hamlet, reciting famous works. I don't even know enough famous works to quote them. So, preacher was there at the party, and he stands up in the back and says, I'd like you to recite the 23rd Psalm. Not really the kind of party, but after some debate back and forth, they obliged, but under one condition, that when the actor was done, the preacher himself would recite the 23rd Psalm. Preacher agreed. So the actor recites Psalm 23 flawlessly. His pauses are perfect. His intonation is flawless. And when he is done, the room breaks out in applause. He smiles and sits down. The preacher stands up. This old preacher, gravelly voice, is cracking while he is reciting the psalm. His voice is breaking. His pauses are not so great. When he is done reciting Psalm 23, no one would applaud, but there was not a dry eye in the room. This actor looks at him and says, I see the difference. I know the psalm. You know the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? That is my question for you today. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. We cannot earn it. Where is your faith? We live in a country that seems to believe in justification by death. We definitely live in a country of people that believe, I'll get to heaven because I'm not as bad as that guy. I did a lot of good things. I think my good outweighs my evil. No. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Do you know that shepherd? Let us come before him in prayer.